Okay, so here we are, sort of approaching the end of April, which means we're just over 2 years away from the next FIFA World Cup, which is going to be held in America. And it's kind of handy, really, that with me, I've got someone who is currently working in football in the country of America. Craig, are you seeing a sort of is football about to boom in that part of the world, given that the men's FIFA World Cup is heading in that direction in the not too distant future?
Hi Kevin. I've been extremely impressed by football, or obviously soccer as they call it here in the US. You know, the infrastructure, the organization, and the passion and desire for the game as well. I say I've been nothing but impressed really from youth level right the way through to the men's national team. Obviously because we're talking about men's World Cup today, not the women's game. And of course, you know, the USA's performance in the last World Cup in Qatar. You know, being a Welshman, obviously, I remember the USA game against Wales, and the 1-1 draw, in which Wales didn't play particularly well, and you know, in all honesty, perhaps USA deserved the win. So, you know, they've proven on the world stage, if you like. But yeah, the country is very much focused on soccer. Amongst obviously the other major sports in the country, you know, obviously you've got the NBA basketball, you've got NFL, American football, and of course ice hockey as well in the NHL. So, as much as it's sort of the, you know, the junior partner, if you like, of the sporting world in the United States, I think for what I've seen that it is starting to boom, and you know, I'm sure it'll go on and flourish, especially given the size of the country, the infrastructure, and facilities, etc.
Yeah, indeed. This is the next 2 years is huge for we'll call it football. If you are listening in from America, soccer to you, but football to us in that part of the world. Because this summer coming, you've got a Copa America, so the best of South America and the best of North America are going to combine. That's an important tournament for America because obviously they've already qualified for the World Cup as hosts or co-hosts. Of course, it's going to be in Canada and Mexico as well. So they won't have too much in the way of competitive action between now and then. So Copa America being on their shores, that's going to be a big thing for the American national team to sort of gauge where they are going into that tournament, really. And of course, football is currently booming. It's always been a huge interest in the Premier League in that part of the world, hence all of the huge international broadcast rights. But Lionel Messi has turned up in MLS, hasn't he, within the last sort of 9 months or so. The global superstar of football right now, to have him in your domestic league, that can only be a good thing for football from the top right the way down to the bottom in the country.
Yes, indeed, and you know, and what an impact obviously he's made. You know, the world's best player, and arguably, and certainly for me. But yeah, he's made a huge impact. You know, down at Miami, obviously, and so much so that when I first heard or got whisper that that he was coming over to the MLS to join the MLS, the nearest team to me is Chicago Fire. So I just quickly looked up Chicago Fire's fixture against Miami. Went on to look at for tickets. The tickets at the time, I think, were, I don't know, say for example, I don't know, $59. Didn't take up the offer then because I wasn't sure my work schedule. Messi was announced, and then within a couple of days, those ticket prices I think went up by $200. So such is the pulling power of the man and the, you know, and the legend. And yeah, what an impact he's made. You know, he's transformed the Miami team, and of course he's been joined by his former Barcelona teammates as well. And you know, whereas you know back in the UK, you know, you go into, you know, shopping malls or whatever, and you see, you know, Manchester City, Arsenal, you know, Chelsea shirts, Liverpool shirts being sold. You can pretty much guarantee that if you go into a soccer shop or a sports shop here in the US, that the football section will have the pink Messi 10 shirts on sale. You know, so such as his nationwide reach. So that can only be good for the game, obviously. You know, and the MLS is accordingly is getting great coverage, and I would imagine greater support as well, because clearly he is going to attract more spectators to stadiums wherever he plays.
that was evidenced weekend before last. Went into Miami, played Sporting Kansas City, one of sort of big historical teams in MLS. They moved the game from Sporting Kansas City's usual stadium to the NFL stadium, Arrowhead Stadium, where the Kansas City Chiefs play, and they had a crowd of 72,000 for that game. So kind of unheard of numbers, really, in MLS. And that just, that alone just shows you where Messi's pulling power is. And of course, as you mentioned, Sergio Busquets, Luis Suarez, and Jordi Alba all there in Miami as well, with David Beckham sort of pulling the strings there and everything else. It's it is becoming a huge growth market for football. But are you seeing the sort of depths of talent that across the country, Craig? You obviously coach younger age groups. Are you seeing good quality in the games that you're coming up against? I'm thinking American sort of men's teams have always been strong internationally at age group levels. They target the Olympics really strongly, don't they? And of course, that's another tournament coming up in the summer. Are you seeing good quality in the games that you're coaching? Obviously, your team play good quality football, but the teams that you come up against, is the quality levels rising?
Yeah, I couldn't possibly comment on my teams, obviously, but I'd like to think that we're fairly competitive, obviously. But I've been very impressed. I think by nature, Americans are, you know, are very sports-minded anyway, and that's been evident in when I look at, you know, high school programs. Particularly, you know, they do encourage sports participation at a very young age, and of course they cater for a great wide spectrum of sports as well, and they encourage then obviously to partake in a healthy lifestyle, you know, strength and conditioning. And that's one thing that I've noticed particularly, certainly in the youth game over here, that the game is very physical actually, and the players are particularly robust. There's a lot of strength and power, certainly in the, obviously as you expect, in the older age groups, you know, sort of under 18s particularly, but you know, that's married as well by, you know, by good technical ability as well. And that's obviously credit to the coaching network and the coach education program by US Soccer. So I think, you know, it all bodes well, you know, both in the male and the female game. And actually the female game is as strong, if not stronger, obviously with the success of the US Women's National Team. And again, that's reflective as well in the number of girls that play the game out here. So yeah, I've been very impressed. Very impressed with the infrastructure and the facilities particularly. But yeah, I'm sure there's a talent pool waiting to burst through. Interestingly, that there are numerous leagues out here and platforms, as they call them, at youth level. So you might have, from a regional perspective, you might have maybe three or four different leagues, all competing for the same player, or trying to recruit the same player. But as we know, it's not, maybe, you know, sometimes it's not always the badge on the sleeve or the platform, but actually, you know, it's the badge on the chest and the club and the infrastructure of the club and the coaching, the quality of the coaching, the quality of care, the way in which that player is developed at that club, rather than what league they're potentially playing in. And I think that's important to note as well. You know, we've been fortunate at my club to... Last season, one of our players was signed by an MLS academy team. So he will go in now in what we would consider to be an academy structure back in UK. So he's gone into an MLS club. Very talented young man, extremely skillful. And we wish him the very best as well. So it just goes to show that, you know, that there is talent there. And I think... Particularly, we mentioned MLS, with the MLS now forming an academy structure underneath their first teams. I think, whereas traditionally, perhaps players have been recruited from college soccer, where they're giving scholarships to go and study and play football on a daily basis and train on a daily basis and then play games at collegiate level, and then get drafted into MLS clubs, very similar to the basketball and the American football draft situation. I think now potentially with MLS clubs and MLS academies scouting local talent, because they can only draw on certain states and certain cities because of a geographical restriction, I think that can only be good for the player development, because then they've been developed at a club level, and obviously you would think and hope then that the coaching and player development support, you know, technically, tactically, physically, psychologically and socially, would be at the highest level to really foster and bring that talent through, which then will obviously only go and benefit the US men's national team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The draft system always fascinates me in all of American sports, obviously. I think we've both mentioned in previous podcasts how we've a keen eye on the NFL, and they do it brilliantly. And it's kind of designed, obviously, the weakest team gets the first pick. So in essence, the best player to keep it all balanced and things. Obviously, in MLS, there's no promotion, relegation. It's just two conferences, etc., etc. But where it is improving, isn't it, at academy level, is these MLS academies, they're now getting invited or they're entering these sort of, generally they're sort of called next gen tournaments now, aren't they, which involve academies of sort of around the world. So UK academies would be there, South American academies would be there, European academies would be in these tournaments. So say, for example, Chicago Fire's academy would be coming up against Real Madrid's academy and things like that. And when you improve the quality of the opposition that you play against, naturally your own ability is going to improve, isn't it? Because when you're on a pitch against these guys and you see what it takes to sort of play in the style that they do, it drives you to achieve that yourself. So that can also only be a good thing, the fact that the kind of global academy picture is stronger and allowing the American academies to grow as a result of that.
Yes, I mean the young player that I mentioned earlier, his team, the MLS academy team, played in Adidas competition recently, at which Manchester United and Arsenal were there, and they got good results against both of those clubs, taking Manchester United to penalties. So yeah, you're right. I mean, competition against the best academies in the world can only help to develop players within the MLS academies, for sure.
And that in turn will give Greg Berhalter, or whoever it is who's leading the American national team come 2026, a greater pool to pick from. And of course, as I say, they've got the Olympics this summer, they've got a Copa America this summer, and who knows, even between now and then, they might even be seeing some La Liga league matches being played out in America. So football in America is definitely on the up. And it'll be interesting to see how the sort of clamour for the World Cup is. Of course, they had the World Cup in 1994. It's moved on so much in those 30 years. Just the MLS alone has moved on so much in those 30 years. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the World Cup develops ahead of the tournament in 2026, of course. Sitting here, we hope England and Wales are going to be there, Craig, and it should be a fantastic tournament in a country where, like you say, they're sports mad. They're going to put on an absolute brilliant show, aren't they?
Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, and obviously it's been shared. It's been shared with Mexico and Canada, as we said. So Canada, I think games have been played at Toronto and Vancouver, Mexico, Guadalajara, Mexico City and Monterrey, and then in the USA, the host cities there are Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City, Los Angeles, Miami, Philadelphia, San Francisco Bay Area, Seattle, and the final and group games and final are being played in New York, New Jersey. So, yeah, that's probably on my bucket list, I think, is to try and get to the final, watch the World Cup final over here in what will be a fantastic show, no doubt. You know, the Americans really know how to put on a show, for sure. And that would be certainly my highlight, and certainly one that I'd love to target is getting to watch the World Cup final live over here in America.
Yeah, some of the most iconic stadiums in the world of sport are going to get used for this tournament. Of course, the Azteca Stadium in Mexico. And then stadiums in America, such as, you know, Arrowhead Stadium that I just mentioned in Kansas City. And, of course, the final at MetLife Stadium, home of the New York Jets. New York Giants, I've been to that venue. Huge, huge stadium. Certainly worthy of a World Cup final. So we will continue to monitor the progress of that World Cup and the American national team, and indeed many of the countries the qualify for that tournament in the lead up to it here on the Director's Box podcast.